Begin the current Av Masech the Baba Basad of Kuf Chav Gimel. Begin on the bottom of Kuf Chav Beis and Mabez, two lines up in the bottom of the Amid. The Gemara continues in a related discussion to the Allah of Mishnah. As we explained in the previous Av, the Mishnah opened up by saying Echera ben Echera Bas ben Achla. Both son and the daughter, they have the same halachas regarding inheritance from either their father or their mother. Ella, the only difference is two differences regarding one for the son and one for the daughter, if it's inheritance from the father or the mother. The difference for the son is he only gets the halacha of b'chayr, a double portion by the father, but not from the mother. And the daughter only gets the habas nizaynis, only from the father and not from the mother. So on the halachas of b'chayr, the Gemara continues and explains the halachas. Tarman lina b'raisa. Pasuk in the Devarim says, losis loy pishnayim, which this pasuk tells us that he has to give a double portion to the son that's the firstborn. Says the b'raisa, pishnayim ke'echad. The double portion is like one, meaning correlating to a share of one of the brothers, he takes another one of those portions. For example, let's say he had five brothers. So what they do is instead of dividing the assets in five parts, they divide into six parts. And the firstborn takes a double portion, meaning he takes pishnayim like one of them. Now, on that says the Braisa, is that correct? Ato ima pishnayim ke'echa, do you say that he takes double of one of the brothers? Or maybe takes double of all the assets, meaning he takes double of all the brothers. So if all the brothers are getting, there's five brothers and they're getting their five portions, he gets 10, he gets double. Is he getting just two, which is double of one of the brothers, or is he getting double of all the brothers, meaning that he would get five himself and they would get five, meaning he'd get double, not of just one brother, but of all the brothers. Says the Braisa B'dinu. Well, he says, it's logical to say that it's like we said, that pishnayim ke'echad, he gets double like one of the brothers. Meaning that when he splits the inheritance with five brothers, it should be the same as when he splits with one brother. In other words, just like when there's only two brothers, the firstborn and the regular brother, the halacha is he's going to be taking double like one of the brothers in all the assets, because however you look at it, he's only taking double. Even if you're saying he's taking double of all the assets, when there's only one other brother besides him, he's taking pishnayim ke'echad, double of that one brother. So therefore, says the Braisa, as we continue to have Kaf Chav Kim Lamed Aleph, Chalko Yim Echad, when he divides with one brother, V'Chalko Yim Chamisha, and take the case of when he divides with five brothers. That is, Mal Chalko Yim Echad, just when he divides with one brother, pishnayim ke'echad, the double that he's taking is double of that one other brother, Av Chalko Yim Chamisha, so that would tell us the same thing as when he splits with five brothers, Pishnayim ke'echad, the double that he's taking is double of one brother, not double of all the brothers. That's one option. Oy klachl derzu, or says the Braisa that no, maybe go the other direction. Chalko Yim Echad v'chalko Yim Hei, you could give a different comparison and say, yes, there are times when he divides with one brother, and there are times when he divides with five brothers. And you could say, Mal Chalko Yim Echad, just say when he divides with one brother, Pishnayim b'chal nechasim, because taking double of one brother when there's only one brother is essentially also saying he's taking double of all the assets. Because that's half is going to that brother, and he's taking double of that. So Avchalkim, hey, maybe say the same thing when he divides with five brothers, Pishnayim b'chal nechasim, that he should take double of all the assets, not just double another portion of, that's double of one of the brothers, maybe double of all his brothers. So therefore, since it's not clear based on logic, says the Braisa to Tamalayim, you have to teach us from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, in Devarim, Perek Chaval, Pasuk Tazayin, says, V'hoyim ba'yim hanchilo esbanim, that will be on the day that he bequeaths to his sons, which the Pasuk there concludes, Isa Shayyiloi, that whatever he has, Layuchalovakas ben Ahuva, he can't make the firstborn portion to the son that he loves, Apnei Venas Nuha Bechar, instead of the real firstborn, who's the one that he dislikes. So rather, he has to give the double portion to the firstborn son. Now, this entire Pasuk, says Rashbam, is superfluous because afterwards the Pasuk says, it says clearly this halacha, because the firstborn, that's the son of the hated one, Yakar loy lost his pishnayim, but he should recognize him, he should give him a double portion. So what are these words coming to say when it says, says the Braisa, Torah ribs anachla, the Torah is increasing the inheritance, etzel achen, by the brothers. In other words, that's why it's saying, hanchilo esbonav, that it talks about the firstborn, but it also talks about the nachla of the other sons, which the Torah is increasing a nachla by the brothers to say that the firstborn does not take a double portion of all the assets, where let's say when there's three or two brothers besides him, where what we see from the pasuk is that no, the brothers do take a large portion. And therefore you cannot say like the second option. Rather, it must be like the first option that we had, which is only takes double of one of the brothers, not double of all the brothers. That's what the Bechayr takes when you have five brothers, you make it into six pieces, and he takes two portions, just the double of what one brother would take. Moreover, says the Braisa V'Omer, another proof of this is, it says in the Pasuk, and later on the Gemara explain what's all these V'Omers, what's not good enough with just this first Pasuk, that proves the Bechayr is only double of one, not double of all of them. But these Pesukim that are being brought now, Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim. The Pasuk says to B'nai Reuven, that the sons of Reuven, Bechayr Yisrael, was the firstborn of the tribes of the Yisrael, of the sons of Yaakov, Kihua Bechayr, because he's the firstborn. But, says the Pasuk, B'chadla Yitzui Av, but when he profaned his father's bed, as it says in the Torah, Nitna Bechayras Levnei Yosef Ben Yisrael. So the firstborn was given to the sons of Yosef, the son of Yisrael, that's the other name of Yaakov Avinu. But says the Pasuk, that's not to give him the lineage of the firstborn. In other words, he's not called the firstborn Yosef, that regarding, it's only called regarding giving him the portion of the Bechayr, which is a double portion. Because Reuven is always called the Bechayr Yisrael. It's just that Yosef takes a double portion like the Bechayr, like the Pasuk says in Bereishis, which Yaakov tells Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh, and Reuven with Shimon and Yuli, that you're Ephraim and Manasseh, will take like my Reuben and Shimon, which is you Yosef are going to take a double portion, one for Ephraim and one for Manasseh. Vaymer Morbid is another pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says Ki Yehuda gavah ba'achav, because Yehuda was the strong one of his brothers, or the nagid mimena and the prince over them. But Vabacher li Yosef, like the pasuk says, the firstborn went to Yosef. So says the Braisa, Nemer Bacher li Yosef. So it says, as we find in this pasuk, the term Bacherah by Yosef. We find the same term Bechayra in future generations, meaning the Pasuk in Devarim Chafaf that says, Loi Mishpat HaBechayr, for him is the law of the firstborn. So that same word, we make the following Hekesh. Ma Bechayra Amor LeYosef, just like the term Bechayra that says by Yosef, Pishnaim Ke'achad, we know that he took a double portion of one of his brothers, not of all of his brothers, as the Gemara later on will explain this. Af Bechayra Amor LeDaris Pishnaim Ke'achad, so too, the firstborn, that it says that every firstborn, his double portion that he takes, is a double portion of one of the brothers, not of all the brothers. Moreover, says the Braisa, even the Pasuk says in Bereishis, that Yaakov tells Yosef, I'm going to give you another portion over your brothers, meaning a double portion, which correlates to like two brothers, as Yimra will explain, which I took, says Yaakov, from the Amori with my sword and with my bow. Now the question is, what did Yaakov take this from the Amori with his sword and his bow? But it says the Pasuk in Tehillim, because I'm not confident in my bow. My sword does not save me. What's this? Yaakov's fighting with the sword and the bow? Ella rather says the Gemara, my sword refers to the prayer that Yaakov davened on his children, that they should be zaycha, to acquire the rights of the firstborn from Esav, that he got with his tefillah. And kashti zu bakasha, when it says kashti, loshna bakasha, it's a request that he would his supplication that he prayed to Hashem Yisbach. That's the Braisa, how we know this halacha of that. The Braisa says the double portion is that of one brother, not of all the brothers. Ask the Gemara, Maival Emer, what are all these and it says, when we really know this all from the first source? Says the Gemara, no, because the Bechitei Mahai, if you're going to say that this first pasuk that the Braisa brought, V'hoyi b'yem hanchiloi esbonav, which the Braisa says, you see clearly the Torah is being marred b'nachla by the brothers, to say that the firstborn only takes double of one of the brothers, but not of all the brothers, and that says the Gemara, maybe, we could have said that the pasuk is not coming to tell us a riba of nachla by the other brothers, maybe that the firstborn takes double of all the brothers. So what's this superfluous pasuk coming to say? It's coming to say, which we mentioned in the previous staff, which Mishnah later on is going to talk about, that if let's say he chooses one of his sons out of all of his sons, as we taught that he could be manchal, that's b'yem and chila, he could choose which one of his sons he wants to inherit, so therefore he wouldn't know the halacha from that pasuk, that's what the Braisa continues and brings a different pasuk, uvenei Reuven b'chayr Yisrael, that the sons of Reuven, who is the firstborn of Yisrael of Yaakov, which it says in that pasuk, that nitna bechayrasa, that his firstborn rights were given to Yosef, and we learn it from a binyanav, which the halacha of Bechaira, which it says in Devarim, from the term Bechairas that says by Yosef, to say just like over there was a double portion here also, it's a double portion. Now, as Rashbam forewarns, although we know Divri Torah and Medivri Kabbalah lo yafinan, you can't learn out a pasuk in Chumash from a pasuk in Nach, and here the Gemara, the Brice is doing that. And says Rashbam, no, it's what's called Gila Milsa Ba'amu, it's just revealing us to us translation. We just didn't know when it says in the Torah that the firstborn takes a chilik b'chayra, we don't know what that is. So now we understand the translation from the pasuk in Nach that it's a double portion of one of them. Because as the Gemara says, this other place, like a Mayit Katan, that the Gemara asks, Davas and Maturis Moshe Rabbeinu Lelamana, we didn't learn this in the Chumash, until Yecheskel comes and says, V'chol b'necher, that regarding a person that is not does not have circumcision, certain halachas cannot apply, but until Yecheskel, who said it? That the Gemara there says, no, that was a tradition we always had. So Yecheskel comes and puts the translation into a pasuk, and the same thing would apply over here by the Bechai. We're not learning out from there, it's just translating for us. Now from there we can see the translation of what it says explicitly in the Torah, that the halacha of Bechai is a double portion of what? Double portion of one brother. But still the Brisa continues. And says, V'chintem, if you're going to say, but b'chayr mi b'chayr rasa l'gamrin, you can't learn out the laws of leimish bat ha-b'chayra of the regular firstborn from the pasuk over there with Reuben and Yesu, it says b'chayra sa'i. It doesn't say the exact term b'chayra. Maybe you can't learn out from there. Tashema, that's why the Brisa brings another pasuk where it says the exact word v'ha-b'chayra l'yesu says the same word b'chayra, the exact words that was for Yosef, and therefore we see that you could learn that from Yosef. Now, but then the Brisa continues and says, V'chita, and if you're going to say that Yosef gufi m'may de pishnaim ke'echarav, how do you know that Yosef himself got a double portion, that you're learning at the laws of Bechera, that Yosef got a Bechera, that he got a double portion of one? Tashema, that's what the Pasuk teaches, that the Brisa brings, V'ani nasati l'cha shechem echar alachecha, where Yaakov told Yosef, I'm going to give you a double portion of one of your brothers, that you see Keruvim, Rishim, and Yili, that you're going to get a double portion. So that's how you know that the firstborn gets a double portion of one of the brothers. Now, that the Gemara asked, Omalei Rapapa Labayim, but Eima Dikla Ba'alma, maybe this that Yaakov told Yosef, I'm going to give you Shechem Echad Alachecha, one more portion over your brothers, maybe it just means one palm tree is going to give him just a little bit of land because he was the firstborn. Who said that he's going to give him another portion of like one of his brothers? Now, actually, Rashbam says that the Gemara could have asked then in the other way, which was the original question, how do we know that means one portion over one brother? Maybe it means he's going to give him a double portion correlating to all the brothers, which was the other side of the question that we started over with, b'chol nechasim. And says Rashbam that no, because that was clearly that Yosef never got such a large portion, because as we find in Tanakh, where the sons of Yosef were complaining that they have nowhere to put all their people, they had so many people, and therefore must have been that you didn't get equal to all the rest of the Jewish people. So it clearly didn't have that much. And then the Gemara is asking, well, how do you know you even got another portion? Maybe just got one more tree, one small piece of land. On that, Amalei, that's what Abai answered to Rabbapa, Alecha Makra, regarding you, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, which answers your question, Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvim and Shimon Yuli. That Yaakov told Yosef that your Ephraim and Menashe will be to me like Reuben and Shimon, which is correlating to two tribes of Reuben and Shimon. That is how you're going to get a double portion. You're not you yourself, but you're going to get for Ephraim and Menashe, which are double for in regards to all the other tribes. As they said in the previous stuff, that Eretz was divided amongst the tribes, which is Pishnaim Ke'echad, getting a double portion of one of the brothers. Now, Rashbam just says, now, so why didn't the Brisa then say another Va'emer? Va'emer, Keruvim, Shimon, Yuli, which would answer this question of Papa and take it that one next step further, is because that was something pretty obvious to the Tana, more than enough. When the Pasuk says, Shechem Echad Alachecha, you're going to get another portion of your brothers, it was going back on what was written before that, was Keruvim, Shimon, Yuli, and it's explaining that Pasuk, and therefore he didn't bother even mentioning that, because, like the terminology says, Zil Kari Beiravu, just go ahead and read a Pasuk Chumash, you'll know that when it says, Shechem Echad Alachecha, is referring to Keruvim, Shimon, Yuli, which is that Yesh is going to get not just another tree, a small piece of land, but rather another portion equal to that of one of the other brothers, which answers the Gemara's original question, that's not equal to all the brothers, but to one of the brothers. I mean, he takes, when there's five brothers, they split it like six portions, so he takes two portions. Now, related to this, the previous Gemara's discussion, the Gemara says, "Bay minei Reb Chelbim Reb Shmuel ben Achmeini," which we mentioned in one of the Pesukim to prove this point, that the Bechayr takes a double portion of one of the brothers, which we said that it was taken away the Bechayr from Reuben and given to Yosef. So ask the Gemara, "Ma ra Yaakov shenot the Bechayr Reuben nasal Yosef?" What did Yaakov see fit that he took away the double portion, the laws of the Bechayr from Reuben and give it to Yosef? On that, asked the Gemara back, "Ma ra? What did Yaakov see fit?" But Ubchal lo yitzui avgsiv. The pasuk says clearly it's because Reuven profaned the bed of Yaakov, and therefore he lost those rights, and therefore he took it away from Reuven and gave it to Yosef. Ella, rather, no, the question was not why did he take away from Reuven, but ma rasha nosna li Yosef. What do you see fit that he gave it to Yosef? On that answer, the Gemara, emshlecha mashal, I'll give you a parable. L'mad devadem, what you could compare this to, why when Yaakov took it away from Reuven, that he decided to give it to Yosef over all the other brothers. L'balabais, to a homeowner, meaning in this mashal it's referring to Yosef. Shigidli Yosef, that brought up a orphan in his home, which that refers to Yaakov, b'teich beisa in his house. Now what's this referring to? As the pasuk says in Bereishis Mem Zayin, v'yichalkel Yosef es aviv v'goyim, that Yosef fed Yaakov all the years he was in Mitzrayim. So he was like the balabais bringing up the orphan who didn't have to provide for himself because it was the hunger years. Now l'yamim, after some time, hasheroisa Yosef, that orphan became wealthy, which in the mashal, in the nimshal, refers to Yaakov, who, when he became wealthy, meaning that although everything was going to be divided amongst his sons, he got later on the bechira of Reuven, because Reuven lost that because he profaned his father's bed. Now he had more money, he became, so to speak, wealthy, he could give it to whoever he wants to. V'amar, and therefore he said, I'm going to benefit the one who gave me this homeowner for my assets. That refers to Yosef. That's why Yaakov gave the double portion to Yosef, because Yosef fed Yaakov all those years in Mitzrayim. So Amalei, so then he, Rabbi Chelboy, asked back to Shmuel ben Nachmeni, I don't understand. V'ilav dechat Reuven, if Reuven had not sinned, lo mehani le Yosef v'le medam, Yosef would not have given anything to Yosef to pay him back for all that he fed him all those years. In other words, what he's asking him is, what did Yaakov give to Yosef more than what should he give to the other brothers? He didn't give anything from his own. He had the question, what he's asking is that Yaakov should have given from his own and not from other things, meaning what he got from Reuven that Reuven lost. Rather, his question is saying that no, for sure Yaakov gave Yosef from his own stuff, whether from his own money, whether from the blessings that we find that he gave Yosef more than all the brothers. For example, the bracha of Ephraim and Manasseh, which was Yidgu L'Rav Bekev Ha'aretz, which was a beautiful bracha that Ein Hara does not shail it over the children of Yosef. For example, the bracha that it says in Birchas Yaakov, Mekel Yavich V'Azreka Tien L'Rish Yosef, and therefore must be that this that he gave the bechira of Reuven to Yosef must be a different reason. Because the fact that he wanted to benefit him can't be that something he got from somewhere else. He should give from his own things to, and because if Reuven had not sinned, what would he have given him? Must be other things he had given him. Must have given him money, and must have given, like we find in the Torah, special brachas. So when they went back to the question, said, why was he giving what Reuven lost to Yosef? Ella, rather, said Reb Chelboy to Reb Shmuel ben Nachmeni, I know I asked you this question, but Rabbi Yitzchak Rabach Lekachama, didn't Rabbi Yitzchak, your own Rebbe, say the following interpretation? As we find many times in Shas, Amr Bishmol Ben Nachmeni, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak was Rabbi Shmuel Ben Nachmeni's Rebbe. He said, your own Rebbe gave an answer to my question. Really, it should have been that the firstborn should have came from Rachel, that Rachel should have given birth to Yosef before Leah gave birth to Reuven, which then Yosef would have been, Reishis Ayin, would have been the first strength, the first seed of Yaakov. Where do we find this? Because the Chassid, like it says, the Pasuk in Bereish, it says, Ela told us Yaakov, these are the children of Yaakov, Yosef. Yosef was the primary, he was supposed to be the Bechar. Ela shekadmasa Leah berachamim, but because Leah went and got to the firstborn before Rachel with her prayer, as the Gemara will shortly explain this, so therefore, Leah had the firstborn. But because of the great modesty that Rachel had, which you must explain what that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended up giving her back the laws of the firstborn, which was that Yosef ended up getting a double portion. So ask the Gemara, what does this mean that Leah beat Rachel to the firstborn with beseeching mercy? So says the Gemara, because the pasuk says in Bereishis, "Ve'enei Leah rakas," the eyes of Leah were soft. No, my rakas, what does it mean? It's soft. Ilei merakas mamish. If you would think it means really soft, meaning that her eyes were constantly dripping tears and therefore they were moist, and that asks the Gemara, "Efshar, is it possible to say such a thing?" But Beginus behemet tamei ledibrakas. The Torah doesn't talk derogatorily, even regarding a non-kosher animal. It actually adds on and switches around extra 8 letters. Because the Chassid, like it says, the pasuk in Bereishis says, "Min habehima hatayra, u'min habehima ashenena tayra." When it talks about the kosher and non-kosher animal, it says from the kosher animal which is called pure, and from the animal which is not tahar, which are 13 letters. It should have just written the behema hatemeya, which would only be five letters. Why does it say, it doesn't say the impure one. It says the one which is not pure. So it's not, because it doesn't want to talk derogatorily even about a non-kosher animal. So b'knut tzadikim dibrakasa, so would you entertain to say that the Torah is going to talk derogatorily about of the righteous people, about Leah, in a derogatory way? Ella Amr Rabbi Elazar, rather Rabbi Elazar says, now it's not from Rabbi Elazar that we find this concept that Leah beat Rachel to it with Rachamim, rather it's going to be the next interpretation, that of Rav. But Rabbi Elazar's interpretation is, what does it mean, in the Leah Rachis? It means, shematnaiseha aruches, the word Rach is in there, that her gifts were long and big, meaning she got Kahuna and Leviah and Malchus because Levi comes from her, which from there comes Kahana Leviim, and Malchus comes from her, which comes from Yehuda, which is her. Ravam, he says, no. Lo'ilam rakis mamash, truthfully, her eyes were soft, they were moist, they were eyes that were constantly tearing. But it's actually not derogatory about her. Ela shvachula, the pasuk is talking about her praise. Why? Because shahisa shemasa precious tzrachim, she heard on the roads, by the crossroads, b'nei adam shayayimim, she overheard people saying, shnei banim yesh lo l'rivka, there are two sons that Rivka had, shnei banis yesh lo l'lovin, and there are two daughters that Lovin had, which these are cousins, because Rivka and Lovin were siblings. G'dayla l'gadol b'ketan l'katan, so he used to say that the older one is going to be for the older one, and the younger one for the younger one, which is that Esav is the oldest one of Rivka, is going to marry Leah, and Yaakov is the younger one, is going to marry Rachel. So Leah would sit on the crossroads and ask people, wait, Gadol Mamaisav, this older cousin of mine, what does he do? So they said, Ishrahu Malastam Bries, he's a wicked person, he robs the people. And Katan Mamaisav, she asked, and what's with the younger son? And that, like the Pasuk says, oh, Ishtam Yesh Vaholim, he's a pure, whole person that sits in the tents. And therefore Leah would cry, until her eyelashes would fall out. That's what the pasuk says, Hashem that Hashem saw that Leah was hated. And that the question is, what does it mean Leah was hated? Do you think it means that Yaakov hated her? If the Torah doesn't talk derogatorily about a non-kosher animal, is the Torah going to talk about that Leah was hated, something faulty about her, something derogatory about their relationship? What does it mean, snua? It means that the actions of Esav were hated in front of her. That's why she cried so much. Ah, that's what the pasuk says over there. And therefore, since he saw that she was hated, not that she was hated, but that she hated Esav, so v'yiftach esrachma, Sifra Hashem opened up her womb, and that's why she was zecha to the firstborn. Because actually she would have married the firstborn, that's Esav, but she was crying about because he was a wicked person. That's why she married it to have the firstborn, because Chakad Masalei Barachim, that she davened that she shouldn't have to get married to Esav and rather get married to Yaakov. Now the Gemara continues on to the second half of this lesson, where although Rachel got Leah got there first and she was zeichet to the Bechera through Rachamim, but then Rachel ended up getting it back. So on that the Gemara asks, what was it that was said she had modesty that therefore Hashem gave her back the Bechera through Yosef? So it's like it says in the pasuk, it says, V'yagid Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi avihu, that Yaakov, the first time he met Rachel, he told her because he's her father's brother, V'chi ben Rivkahu, and that he's the son of Rivka. Now the question is, V'haloi ben achis avihu, he's not her father's brother, he's not her uncle, he's her cousin, he's her father's sister's son. Why is it saying he's her father's brother? Ella Amala, rather, what Yaakov had told to Rachel was mincivously. He said, marry me. Amrlei, she said to him, in, yes, I'll get married to you. Mia Abramohu v'layachlesle, my father is someone that's a Ramai, he's a swindler, and you won't be successful in getting me as a wife. Amala, he said, Myra Musa, says, what's his swindling? What would be his problem, his objection to me marrying you? Amrlei, she said to him, Isli achsa dikeshishaminoi, I have an older sister, v'lemantzvesli mekamo, he's not going to marry me off to you before he marries her off. So Amala, he said to her, don't worry, when he said he's her father's brother, didn't mean genealogically brother. It means I'm the same kiln. I could be the same swindler just as your father. Don't worry, I'll outsmart him. So Amrlei, she said to him, is a righteous person permitted to go in the ways of swindlers? And what do you mean to say that you're going to do the same deceit that he does? On that, Yaakov Inu responded, in yes, as the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, Imnaver titaver, with an honest person you go with honesty. Vimikish titapel, with a crooked person you go crooked. So Masullah, so Yaakov gave to Rachel simanim. He gave her signs that she should tell him at the nighttime when they get married, when they lay down, to prove that she is her and not her sister Leah. Now, ki koma aidli lola Leah, but when they were bringing Leah to the chuppah and they switched and they Lavan deceived Yaakov and gave Leah instead of Rachel, so Sava Rachel thought, hashta mikas vachasai, now my sister's going to be embarrassed. Masartina nehala, so she gave over the signs to Leah, behind the chsiv, and that's what it says a pasik. Vihini baboiker vihini lehi Leah. Yaakov realized he was deceived because in the morning, behold, it was Leah. What? Machlal da hashta lav Leah? What? And up until now, the whole night that he was with her, she wasn't Leah? But since there were signs that Yaakov gave to Rachel, and that Rachel subsequently gave to Leah, he didn't know that she was Leah until that morning, because then the light shone, and then he saw who it was. All along, he thought it was Rachel because of the signs, and that was the modesty that Rachel had, that no one knew anything about it besides her, because she was modest in her ways, and therefore she was able to keep it discreet, and therefore it was in that merit that she had the Bechira come back to her through Yosef, who got it. When Reuben lost it, it went to Rachel's children, Yosef. Now the Gemara continues in a related discussion, because since before we were talking about a question regarding Yaakov and his sons, we talk about with Reuben and Yosef, so therefore the Gemara introduces this question over here also about Yaakov and his sons. Bechlalan, in the general number of the Jewish people when they came down to Egypt, you find that the number was 70. As it says in the Pasuk, that Kol HaNefesh Abal Yaakov Mitzrayim was Shivim, was 70. But when you start counting one by one what was mentioned of all the names previously there in the parasha, at the Maitzi Shivim Chasar Echad, you find 70 minus 1, you only find 69 with Yosef and his two sons, like the Pasuk says explicitly, that there were 66, and then with Yosef and the sons, which comes out to 69. Now, actually, it was missing from the B'nai Leah, because by the B'nai Leah, it says that there were 33, and when you count them, you only find to be 32. So Amalei, so Chiba Abba responded, he says, to Uma Haisa, there was a twin that was born to Leah, two girls in one pregnancy, im Dina, with Dina. The sibling says, the Pasuk, ve'eis Dina bita eis, is a plural, and Dina, his daughter, which was not necessary to say that it wasn't only Dina, it was also a twin sister with her. That was the 70th. On that, he asked back, Elamatim, if that's the case, to whom Haisim and Binyamin, then that would also mean that a twin was born with Binyamin. Because the Chsevah, like it says in the Pasuk, as we continue to Amid Beis, the Es Binyamin Achav and Binyamin his brother, which Es is a Reboy, an inclusionary term, Ben Ima, the son of his mother, so it should be 71. So Amasa, he responded back, he says, look, Margalis Taibahisa Biyadi, it was a precious jewel that I had by me. Meaning, I have a very precious interpretation that's precious to me like a jewel, which I didn't want to reveal. Now, essentially, really, like Rashbam says, is that he just wanted to make him sharp and say something that he should realize that's a flawed answer and then ask back. But he's saying that, I don't want to say this right away. Now you want to take this away, this gem from me. In other words, that I have to reveal it to others. But again, he really just wants to make it dear by him to say, this is something very precious and dear. I wanted you to earn this. Because who is the 70th? Zui Yecheved. This refers to Yecheved Bas Levi. And that's why in the specifics, when it mentions each one, it doesn't mention her because she wasn't yet born yet. She was actually a fetus in her mother's womb when they came into Mitzrayim. Because Shahirasa Baderach, she was conceived on the way down to Mitzrayim, so she was one of the 70, but Validasa Ben Achayim, she was born only between the walls when they entered into Mitzrayim. Shlomach says in the Pasuk, Asher Yolda Oysa LeLevi Ben Mitzrayim, that she was born to Levi Mitzrayim. Which tells you, Leidasa Ben Mitzrayim, her birth was in Mitzrayim, but Ve'in Hayrasa Ben Mitzrayim. Her conception was not in Mitzrayim, and therefore she's from the 70, although when you mentioned she wasn't an individual yet, so therefore you only count 69, but there was 70 with Yecheved. Related to this discussion, another question from Ba'imene Reb Chelba Mereb Shmuel Ben Achmeni says, Ksiv, on the one hand, the Pasuk says, Ve'yikasha Yolda Rachel Es Yosef V'Gayma. The Pasuk says, when Rachel gave birth to Yosef, oh, then etc. Then Yaakov asked from Lavan that to send me free. Let me go home to my parents. So the question is, Maishno, why is it any different that he didn't want to go home to his father's house until Ki Isyalid Yosef, until Yosef was born? So Malay. So he responded. He says, Ra Yaakovin saw Shein Zarishal Esav Nimsar, that the children, the descendants of Esav, who's the nemesis of Yaakov, will not be given over. It'll be Yadzara Shal Yosef only in the hands of the descendants of Yosef. And that's why he had to wait till Yosef was born to go back home to contend with Esav. Shlomo says the pasuk in Nevad, it says, "V'hoya beis Yaakov eish," that the household of Yaakov is fire, "ubeis Yosef lahava," and the household of Yosef is the spark, "ubeis Yosef lekash v'gayma," and the house of Esav is straw, which that spark comes out and burns up all the straw of Esav. Now, that has to come out Esav. But he asked back, the pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph regarding Amalek, when they went and they descended on Saklig, which they then afflicted the wives of David, as it says in Sefer Shmuel. So it says, "V'yakim David," that David smote them, "Mahaneshev v'ad erev l'machrasim," from when the day turns until the evening and the following day. Now, David was from Shevet Yehuda, not from Yosef. And the Zerah of Esav fell into his hands, because Amalek is the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esav. And you said that the descendants of Esav are only given over in the hands of the children of Yosef, but we find that they're even given over in the hands of other Shvatim, like Shevet Yehuda. So why is the pasuk say Ubeis Yosef Lahava more than Shevet Yehuda, and that's why Yaakov had to wait till Yosef is born? Why? We find it's given over into other Shvatim too. So Amalei responded to him, he says, "The Akrach Navi, whoever taught you Navi, Loi Akrach Kisuvi, did not teach you also Kisuvim?" Because the Chassid is a pasuk in Divrei Hayom that talks about that episode when they went to Tzaklig to fight with Amalek. It says, "Belechte Tzaklig," when David went to Tzaklig, "Naflu Olav Menashe," it fell in with him from the tribe of Menashe, were Adnach, that's the Girsa, "V'yezavid, v'yadiel, v'michoel, v'yezavid, v'alihu, v'tzilasi, Rashi ha'lofim asher l'Menashe," which were the heads of the tribes for Menashe. So it's because that Shevet Menashe was joined with him, who he's from Shevet Yosef, that's why Amalek was given over to him. But yes, it only is Shevet Yosef and no other tribe. But the Gemara continues asking, Master of Yosef Yosef asks, "Hapasuk Adivri Yamim Aleph," it says, "Umihem," and from them, "Mibnei Shimon," from the sons of Shimon, "Halchu lahar Seir anoshim chamesh meis," they went to Mount Seir, which is where Esav Edom is, they went 500 men, "Ufalachu," and "Arya," "Rafaya," "Uziel," "Vinei Yishi," the sons of Yishi, "Bereshim," at the heads. And the pasuk says over there, "V'yakwe she'er saplate l'amalek," and that they smote the remnants that were left over from Amalek. "V'yishu v'sham adiyem hazeh," and they settled there until this day. So you see that Amalek, the descendants of Esav, fell in the hands of Shimon also, and you said it's only given over to the hands of the children of Yosef. So Rabbi Bar Shila, he says, "Yishi mi b'nei Menashe asi." The b'nei Yishi that mentions over there, Yishi is from the sons of Menashe. That's similar, it says a pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, it says the b'nei Menashe was Chefer v'Yishi, which the Mefarshim bring down that there is no such pasuk Chefer, but rather it's Afer with an Ein. But we see that Yishi was from the sons of Menashe, so again, that's from Shevet Yosef, and that's why it was given over. Yes, it's only Yosef and no other tribe. Nothing more continues, going back to the topic that we've been mentioning on the previous daf, and that we're discussing this daf, Tanraban. Habachayr, the firstborn, and this price is talking about specifically the firstborn that's a son of a Kayin, Noitel Pishnaim, like the Bachayr always takes, he takes a double portion, and the Gemara will explain this whole price of all the different cases. So he takes from his father a double portion, Bizraya, by the forearm, Ubalachayim, the jaw, Ubakeva, and the maw, which is one of the stomachs of the animal, which these are what's called Matnas Kahuna that the Kayin gets when an animal is slaughtered. Ubamukdashin, he also gets from the sanctified animals, which the Gemara is going to explain what that case is referring to. Ubishvach Sheshivchu Nechasim, and the increase that the assets had increased by themselves, la'achar misavin, even though it wasn't there at the time of the death, but they increased by themselves, that's also included in the things that the first one takes a double portion when they finally do divide the assets. Case at Hatzo. Hanich le'navin par muhkeres. Regarding this last case of regarding the shvach that increases by itself, so if their father left over them a cow that he had leased out to another individual, which that is that whatever increase that person does with that cow, his father who owned the cow gets 50%, the guy who did the work gets 50%. Or umeskeres biyadachem, or it's rented out in the hands of others, meaning for a set amount until a certain time, the guy's renting it out, he leased out the cow, he's paying a certain amount for the lease. Or if the cow was just grazing in the swampland, whereas the Gemara will later on explain where there's no lack of food over there, and therefore the Yisaimim don't have to be paying anything for its upkeep. The Yolda and the cow gave birth, so the firstborn takes a double portion in that child, because since that child was born by itself, and there was no effort put in by the son at all. So it's like something that the father was already machzik in it, because it's just a derivative of what he had already owned. No one put in any more effort, energy, time, money into it. So the firstborn takes a double portion in that. Aval, but, says the Braisa, bonu batim and not to crumb him. But let's say after the father had died, then the orphans went and built houses and planted vineyards, where that's a shvach that comes through the yisayim themselves, and it doesn't come by itself. Then ein b'chayr netel b'shnayim, that's something that was not from the father, it's something that was done later on, that the firstborn does not take a double portion in that. Now the Gemara explains the Braisa. Hai hazeroyev al chayayim v'akeva hechidami. What is this case that we're saying that the firstborn son of the Kanim family takes the double portion of the forearm, of the jaw, and of the maw? So, another Gemara says, Ida asli de'avun, if it's talking about something that a father already got it from some Yisrael that had an animal, and then the father got it, so pshit, it's obvious, because the father already had it. Now it's like a regular assets where the b'chayr takes the double portion. And v'ida loy asli de'avun, and if the father never got it, so then that's what's known as rohu. It's just fit for the father to get it. In other words, this cannot be compared to the last case of the Braisa, which is shvach, that happens by itself, because there, the father is already muchzik in nechasim, and then it increases by itself. So it's like he was already muchzik in that shvach. But here, regarding these matnas kahuna, the father never yet took possession of it when he was still alive, and therefore it's all shvach that came after him. It's not like he had the keren and then the shvach came out of it. It's all shvach, and therefore it's something that would be fit for him to get, but he never got it. And therefore, the halacha is ve'ena b'chor noitl b'roka b'muchzik. We know the firstborn does not take a double portion in what's fit for his father to get, but at the time of his death, he didn't have it. It's just something that came later on. It's only what he had at the time, which is called muchzik, he gets. So why does b'chor take a double portion? Manavshach. If the father already had it, of course. If he didn't, then why does he get it? So that answers the Gemara. Hacha b'makire kuhunaskinan. What we're talking about over here is that the father who had passed away, this kayin, the people of the city, his relatives, his friends, they always gave their matanis of kahuna, they always gave their animals right away when they were slaughtered. Before it was even separated from the animal, they really gave that right to this kayin, to their father. Now, the case is talking about ud ishtochit b'chay davun. This animal that was slaughtered when their father was still alive. That's the chiddush of the Braisa, that it says, if it already came to their father when it was still what's called betivlayu, meaning, although there's no tevel is my produce, but an animal also in a way is called tevel because it wasn't separated, the mountainous kohen, there are certain parts of the animal that have to give them to the kohen. Where the Gemara says in Mesechtes Chulin Daf Kof Lamed Beis that the kohen already acquires it if he would get it in its untithed state. Now, that's what Buksavar, because the time the Braisa holds, matnei shaloi hurmu, kimisha hurmu dami. These kind of gifts that are not separated yet, they weren't taken apart from the animal yet, it's as if they were already separated. As the Gemara there teaches from Vezeh Yiyah Mishpat HaKahan, this should be the laws of the Kahanim, which teaches that the matanas, their halacha is that they could be taken out through law if they came to the Kahanim in its untithed state, as the Gemara there explains, and therefore here also, since it was slaughtered when the father was still alive. And this person who slaughtered the animal is what's called makire. He's a friend, he's an acquaintance with this kayin and who had passed away. So although the parts were never yet separated from the animal, it's as if it already came to their father, because these friends of his, they already conclude that they're giving these matanas to this kayin even when it's still in the animal. So it's like as if once it's slaughtered, as if these Yisayim's father already took possession of it when he was still alive, because although the matanas weren't even separated, this time holds it is as if it is separated. And therefore, the Bukhari is going to take a double portion. Now, says Rashbam, so then why can't you say Pshita? If you say matanas shalohumr kahurmur dami, it's like it's already separated, and therefore it's like he already got it, so of course the children are going to get it. On that, no. Says Rashbam, that's the chiddush, where although they weren't separated yet, that's the chiddush of the Talmud Braisa. It's as if they are separated, and since they're separated, so it's like the father already got it, and therefore the children are going to get it. But that's the chiddush, that even though they weren't separated, the animal was only slaughtered, it's as if they were separated, and automatically it's this father who passed away, who was Zaycha, and therefore the Bukhar is taking in what's called Muchzik and not Baro. Next case of the Braisa said Mukdashin, that the sanctified animals that their father had, the Bukhari is going to take a double portion. That asked the Gemara, but Lavdi Deininu. the sanctified animal is not even their father's animal. So for example, let's say a Karban Chatzis and a Karban Ashim. When they're still alive, they call Kodshei Hashem. There's halacha of Me'ila, which is a misappropriation. It's owned by Hashem, by Hekdesh, as long as it's not slaughtered. Now, in contrast to a Karban Shlamim, which there is no Me'ila, as elsewhere there's a drasha of Kodshei Hashem, which tells us that only Kodshim the Me'yuchad to Hashem, there is where the halacha of Me'ila applies to, which excludes Kodshim Kalim, which is the lower level Kodshim, which are not designated purely for Hashem, which are eaten even by the owners. It has a lower level. Now, however, it's still not going to be the money of their father because it's still sanctified and you cannot call it regarding what it says that a Bechayr gets a double portion, whatever is dear that the person who had passed away, because even Kashem Kalim is not his. And therefore, even if it would be slaughtered, that it could be eaten, it's still not considered the father's. As the Mishnah teaches in the second Perek Masechet Kedushin, that if someone is Mekadosh a woman with his portion of a carbon, whether kachim or kachim kalim, she's not going to be mukadashis. Why not? Because it's not his, even though he could eat it, because it's what's called mishulchan gavaya kazachu. The Hashem just gives you from his table when the carbon is brought. Here you, the kain, here you could eat from it. But it's not that you own it. It's not yours. It's not b'chalashim matzei lai, which the Torah talks about regarding Yerusha. And therefore, as to Gemara, there should not be a double portion for the b'chayr, because it's not even owned, even though he has rights to it, it's not owned by the father. That answers the Gemara, B'kachim Kalim. We're talking about the lower level types of karbanis, like a karban shlamim, and we're talking about that the animal is still alive, which is considered the money of the person who owns it, which in this case is their father, the kain, because we're going Valibi Derbisa Glili, who he holds, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, that it is considered the mammon of the owner. Now, however, as Rashbam points out, but it's only talking about when it's alive, because even the kachim kalim, after it was slaughtered, then it would not be considered the mammon of the owner. As the Gemara says in the first parak in Baba Kama, that when does Rabbi Yisai Aglili say his halach is only when the animal is still alive, but after it's slaughtered, then it's like we said before, it's ki kazachu, when the people then get to use it, it's meshulchan gavay kazachu, then it's really just charayim from Hashem, but you don't own it, Hashem just lets you eat it. There he didn't say it's considered like the money of the owner. So we're talking about that the animal is still alive, and that's a kachim kalim, and like Rabbi Yisai Glili, dama mamun bailam, that he says that's considered the money of the owner for everything, even to mimikadish a woman, that it's like your money, which you have to go ahead mimikadish. That's the case that we're describing by mukdashin, that the son, the firstborn, gets a double portion because it is owned by his father. To turn like learn the brisa, the pasuk miyikra says regarding somebody that is v'chichish ba misa bepekadin, if someone denies something that was deposited by him, he denies that, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't have any deposit. And he swears falsely. So the pasuk says in Vayikra, Mala Mal Bashem, that he has committed a treachery in regards to Hashem, because he denies and then he swears falsely. Then the Torah talks about that if he admits his guilt, then he has to bring a carbon ashem, he has to pay a penalty. Says Rabbi Yisai Glili, that is Larabis Kachim Kalim Shein Mom and Balim Divri Rabbi Yisai Glili. Rabbi Yisai Glili says, what does it mean? Bashem. It's Bashem, or it's regarding your friend. So basically it says, it's coming to talk about something that is Hashem, but it's still owned by your friend, and therefore it's Kichish Bamisa. What is that? That's a Kachim Kalim carbon, which is considered owned by the owner, which would then make the one who's lying about it, Chayiv and Hashem Gezelis, if let's say someone deposited by him to watch from his Kachim Kalim animal. So if he denies it, and he swears falsely, and he admits, then he has to, like all other thefts of money, he has to go ahead and pay and bring a carbon ashram and pay him for that, which, because it's his money, because the meat and the skin goes to the owner, and what goes to Hashem is only the emurim, which are the certain sacrificial parts, and for the kain goes the chadav b'sheik. So that's what it expounds. It's a me'ila b'Hashem, and it's b'misa, which are carbon shlamim, because the emurim are for Hashem, but the meat is for the owner. Which, what you have to say is that the me'ila in this pasuk is not talking about like the halacha of me'ila. Because as we said, the actual halacha of me'ila does not apply by shlamim. As in Torah's kanim, they exclude where it says kachay Hashem, it's only for kachay kachim. Rather, what it means a term of deviation, whereas we find in Divrei Yamim says v'yimel b'Hashem lekav, which is that, like it says by the Saita, ish ish kisista ish te'umol b'mal, it's something that's deviating. A deviation, that's what's talking about where the guy deviates regarding Hashem because he's lying and he's swearing falsely. So that's the concept that we're talking about, the Mugdashan, the Kachem Kalam animal, that when they're still alive, like basically that's considered owned by the owner, that if the father passed away owning that, that's where the firstborn gets a double portion. Then the Braisa continued, it said, Hanich le'navin par muchkeres u'meskeres v'yad achem. If the father left him over a leased cow, rented out cow in other people's hands, meaning if the father owns it, it's just leased out when he died, or if it was grazing out in the swamp and then they gave birth, so the firstborn takes a double portion in that child that's born. Now ask the Gemara, has the muchkeres u'meskeres. Now regarding the case, the first two cases of when it's leased out or when it's rented out, where the lab is the mardi to kaima, where it's not even in the father's domain at that time. Yeah, the father owns it, but other people have it in their property right now because they leased it, they're using it. And still, Amrit Shalko, still you said that if it gives birth, that then that child is going to be taken a double portion by the firstborn. So you see, we're considering it as muchzik, even though it's not in the father's domain proper. So Rayaba first, so when it's grazing in the swamp where then there's no one else that has possession of it, it's in the father's ownership, although it's just grazing in some swampland. Mibaya, do you have to tell you that the first one's going to take a double portion of that child? So the Gemara says, you're right. Of course not. But Hokamashnon, so why is we saying this case? It's coming to teach us the following halacha. The Muchkeres u'Meskeres dum yidarei b'afar. We're saying that case only to compare it to the case of Muchkeres u'Meskeres, which is teaching what? Ma roye b'afar shivcha d'vimeilukasi. Just like when it grazes in the swamp. That is an automatic increase. Whatever it becomes better, where it's having this child, because it's eating from the grass in the fields. And it's not costing any food of the orphans. No one's investing anything into this animal. So whatever benefit is coming out is coming automatic. That's where we say that the firstborn is going to take a double portion. So it continues the Gemara on top of Kof Chav Dalam Adalaf. Af Muchkeres u'Meskeres. It's reflecting regarding the previous two cases also. When it's leased out, it's Shivcha d'Vimeila Kasi. It's only when it's an automatic, by default type of an increase. The Loichashu b'Mezayinah, that's not missing any food, that's not costing anything for the Yisayimim. That's where it's going to go, that child, to the firstborn. But if not, then it's something that is like similar to the case of when they build things or plan things which is costing them stuff, then it's not something that was automatic that we could say that the father was always muxing in it, then actually the firstborn would not take a double portion in that child. Now, so the case that basically what the Gemara is saying is that this leased cow, the orphans are not providing any food for it, and that's why he's going to get a double portion in that child. Now, on that asks Rashbam, so then why didn't the Braisa only say the case of Roya Bafar, when it's grazing in the swamp? And I would know then that Muchkeres u'Meskeres is only when it's not costing the orphans any money for the food. So why does it have to say the case of Muchkeres u'Meskeres, that then you have to say Roya Bafar to learn from there, that it's talking about then when it's not costing anything, where it's just grazing by itself? Just say the case of grazing. I would know it's like that case. When it's not costing, then I would be able to know the case of Muchkeres u'Meskeres is also only when it's not costing them. And that says Rashbam, no, you need it, because you would think to say that every Muchkeres u'Meskeres is not a Shivcha d'Memela, it's not an automatic Shvach. People are plowing with it, are working with it. There's an effort that's going into them. And therefore, the firstborn should never take a double portion in that type of a cow. That's what the Braisa is teaching, that no, since the orphans themselves are not plowing with it, they're not investing any effort in it, they're not feeding the cow, others are, but they're not. That is considered Shivcha d'Memeila. It's considered a automatic Shvach, as long as the orphans are not providing any food for it and they're not putting in any effort. So then even though others are putting in the effort, but regards to the orphans, they're the primary ones. Do we see that they did it or their father did it? Here, they didn't do anything, so we consider it as if the father did it, and whatever is outgrowth is automatic, and therefore that's considered Shivcha d'Memeila, and that's why the firstborn is going to take a double portion, even by Muchkeres u'Meskeres, again, as long as the orphans are not providing the mezainis for that animal, and therefore Shivcha d'Memeila, and that's where it gets a double portion.